on the air. It is Wednesday, March the 24th, 2021. 19, coming up on 20 minutes past the hour. Scott Spears with Glenn Kopel, and Glenn is making funny faces already as the program has started.
Well, I bought new headphones, and these sound like I'm talking through tinfoil, so... Oh, well.
I was talking.
Yes, I know. It sounded like you were talking through tinfoil. Maybe you can turn my volume down a little.
So, you know why I don't mess with the master volume? Well, first of all, this is interesting. Maybe not for people listening, but for us. the headphones that the person sitting behind the controls have are coming directly out of the board.
Yeah.
So, my headphones are coming directly out of the board right now.
Okay.
Now, the headphones on that side are coming out of that black box over there.
Oh.
That's why those are louder than these on this side, because there's no volume control on that box.
Okay. Yeah, I see that.
So.
Oh, geez.
Uh-oh. He's messing with the box.
Yeah, got to quit messing with
the box. So the problem is, and you know, I don't mind when people come over here, because so the only place to adjust the headphone volume is on this board.
Yeah.
But people adjust it, and then what they do is, that what they hear in their head is what they're hear, but it's not what's going over the air, because they're hearing it much softer in their head because they've turned it way down.
Yes, and I was criticized last week for having too loud a show.
Well, because you turn the headphones down.
Yeah, I turned that down.
So in the headphone, it sounds fine, but you've got it way up to the audience.
Yeah, I got you.
So that's why I never turn the headphones down.
Okay.
But you're right. I did notice last week, because I was listening. I thought, boy, Dr. Feynman is really loud.
Huh.
And it was probably because the headphones were turned down.
Well, I'm going to make sure I turn it down with the pot instead of turning it down with the master.
But isn't that interesting? How that can happen.
Well,
one day I came in here, and as I was driving in, because you know you always have your volume set on the same level.
Yeah.
And I was driving in here, and I thought, boy, the station sounds faint. It doesn't seem like it's coming in as loud as it normally does. And when I got up here, and I don't know who did it, the headphones had been turned down.
It was probably me.
Yeah, but so had the pot. And I think the pot was not all the way, but it was turned down some, probably because it was coming in loud.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Well, I'm not
sure. That's showbiz.
I'm not sure I can do a whole show without having an ear plug in, but maybe I'll just put it in lighter.
So does it sound loud?
No, it just is distorted. So I'm going to have to bring my other headphones in. Yeah.
Just when things were going so well.
Yeah, they were.
But one thing I do want to make mention of today, and I'm not going to talk about the specific person, but I have told people that next 15 days are going to be a lot of change for this station, for the better, and we're not going to get into that until it actually happens.
Okay.
But there are some stories, and I'm not going to focus in directly, that we are going to be able to tell in about 15 days of things that were going on behind the scenes. And here's why I think this is important. And we're not going to get into it right now, but you know, I always hear certain people saying how they want to improve Marion and how they're going to bend over backwards to do things in a proper manner. And people give them all these awards, and we have all these things going on.
I haven't gotten any award.
Well, there you go. But yet, behind the scenes, they are not really that person they profess to be.
Oh, I think that's true with everybody. And one of the things I've done all my life, well, not all my life. When I was young, I kind of played that game. But as I've gotten older, I've tried to make sure the hypocrisy doesn't jump up and bite me. And unfortunately, we have a lot of hypocrisy. A lot of people saying, look how good I am, and then behind the scenes being nasty. Look at our politicians right now.
Yeah, but you know, it even goes beyond politics. It goes beyond... And I'm not really sure. If you don't want to be the nice person, why not just say nothing?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I've often wondered this. Don't you think most people and I'm going to say this with quotation marks around it, in a Christian society, don't you think most people know what's right and wrong and know whether they're doing right or wrong?
You know, I would say 90%. I do think
only 90.
Yeah, because I do think there are some situations where people do believe they're doing the right thing, even though society might believe they're doing the wrong thing. Like I have, for example, I've always said the mother who steals the formula for their baby. Mm-hmm. Now, society says that's wrong, and the police department says that's wrong. Mm-hmm. I believe that mother thinks she's right.
Yeah, well, it's situational ethics.
Yeah.
And that situation is a little bit different than what the law was written for. Yeah.
But yet the law does not protect her.
No, it wouldn't.
Right.
No.
So I think she thinks she's right up till the end.
But that's why we have judges. Judges can protect her.
But will they? Because the law says you can't steal.
It depends on what type of judge you have. If you have a extremely conservative, hard-nosed judge, he probably won't protect her. If you have a liberal do-gooder, he might more than protect her. He might give her money and go out and help her buy food, baby food.
Well,
I don't know.
Like I always think Martha Stewart comes to mind because she went to prison financial crimes. Now, I will bet you if you ask Martha Stewart to this day, she doesn't think she was wrong. And to be honest with you, Martha Stewart doesn't do her checkbook and doesn't do her taxes and doesn't do her stuff. So do you really think that she made those errors that sent her off to prison?
Well, the odd thing about it is so many politicians are doing exactly what she did, supposedly, and they get away with it scot-free.
Well, that's what I'm
sorry.
Saying.
I didn't mean to say scot-free.
But I mean, now, if you hit somebody, you know. If you murder somebody, you know. If you commit any acts that are of a predatorial nature, you know. But now, financial crimes, a lot of times, I don't think people know. I think the financial code, the IRS code, is very complicated, and I don't think till somebody points it out to them, they realize they've done anything wrong.
No, and I'll agree with that, but I think most people know what is morally right and wrong. Now, I don't think the tax law falls into that bailiwick of morality. So,
but how many people went to prison for tax evasion?
I don't know.
I'm sure they have.
Oh, I'm sure they have, too. And there are a lot of people, the people during the savings and loan debacle, nobody went to prison. And that was a lot worse for many people.
So is that morally wrong? I don't think so.
That's a tough question to answer. I'm not sure how to answer that.
I don't think it is morally wrong, because I think if you did not think that you were doing anything wrong, then it wasn't intentional, then mm-hmm. it wasn't premeditated, and people do make mistakes. We err every day.
Sure, and I agree with you. If you don't think you're doing something wrong, then I wouldn't worry too much about it. Your conscience is clear. But I think most people know what is right and wrong morally speaking. They know not to kill. They know not to steal.
Well,
they
that
know
stuff.
Not to
yes.
hit. They know not to covet thy neighbor's wife, you know, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, but you know, it's interesting because
that might not be morally wrong.
When we come to, because were you talking, didn't you say Christian morals?
Yeah, I said okay. In a Christian society.
Well, it's interesting because spare the rod, spoil the child.
Right.
Now, that would be, obviously, spanking would be, I guess, the Christian morale way to go. But there are a lot of people who believe that's very morally wrong.
Yes, I know. And that fight has gone on in my household.
Right. So what, again, that's why I say 90%. I think there are a lot of questions.
But you know, the neat thing about that particular question is my wife and I disagreed on it. I thought we should not spare the child. We should spank the child. And I still think spanking has its place. But she pointed out to me, don't spank in anger. You need to think about it. And unfortunately, so many people spank in anger, and they smack. I've seen people walking down the aisle in a grocery store just turn and smack their kid right in the face. And that, you know, if you stop and think about it, but you're not stopping and thinking about it. You're just concerned about your own embarrassment or your own comfort.
You know what? We're going to take a 60-second break here. Come back with more. This is a conversation worth having because this is had by a lot of people.
Yeah.
And we're going to come back and discuss it. You on the toll-free line, 740-383-9944.
Scott, do you know what my favorite meal is?
No, Charlie. What is it?
A BLF.
What's a BLF?
Bacon, lettuce, and fruitcake sandwich. Good.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
And we're back here on this Wednesday talking about the old disagreement that has went on between mothers and fathers and step-parents and grandparents. Spare the rod and spoil the child. Now, here's where my thing about spare the rod, spoil the child comes. And I agree that, you know, a lot of people do it in anger. And if you actually thought about it for a period of time, you probably would not do it.
Yeah.
But here's my thing. There are two issues with that I have. Number one, I've never seen... Now, people will say it worked. But if you take something from that child, especially in the smartphone world, if you take their cell phone...
Oh, that's mean.
Right. Now, that will affect them more than I believe a spanking will. Now, number two, I've never seen... I know kids who were spanked and they turned out to be criminals. I know kids who were spanked who turned out to be perfectly fine people. Yeah. I don't think it has a modicum of difference on keeping somebody in the straight and narrow. I think it works for some. It doesn't work for others. But I think it's personality driven. And the other problem I have with it is there are adults who are far worse than any child could ever be manner-wise. And you're not allowed to give an adult a spanking. Even the idea of it sounds ridiculous.
Well, and I've told this 1,000 times on this radio station that my wife told me when we first started raising our children, if you're going to spank them, tell them to go to their room, wait 5 minutes, then go and do your spanking. And my eldest son told me one time, the worst part of that is waiting for me to come up and spank them. Not that they were afraid I was going to hurt them, because by the time I got up, usually the spanking went from I'm going to swat your butt 5 times to okay, bend over, pang, and we're done. You know, and I wouldn't spank them real hard, but that's what we have the most number of people in jail of any per capita of any country in the world right now. And I've got to say, some countries just shoot people and so they don't send them to jail. But we have the most incarcerated people of any civilized nation. And I don't think it's worked real well. We still have a lot of terrible things going on.
Well, this is something I think people will have an opinion on. So if you want to get in on this, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Should you spank your children? And there are a lot of people who believe you should even go further than that, that a slap across the face is okay, that getting a switch, you know, a stick on the behind is okay, that's okay. And, I don't know. Is it okay? What do you think? 740-383-9944.
My mother, I was never spanked that I recall. Now, I think I probably was, I might have been by my father a couple of times, but nothing that really hurt me. But I do remember my mother making me go out to during the spring, go out and cut a forsythia switch and bring it in the house, thinking I was going to get spanked with it. And then we talked, and then she'd throw it away. But it scared me.
Well, yeah, and I don't, but you know, again, I do think it comes back to embarrassment, because the times I've seen people hit their kids or spank them or whatever it may be, the worst cases of it are when the parent is just incredibly frustrated, either with the kid or they're embarrassed. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm in the room watching this, then I'm seeing the child act out. And maybe they're embarrassed that I'm seeing it. Mm-hmm. And it embarrasses them. And they take it out on the kid. Which, to me, it turns into a whole another can of worms. Because then, you know, I'm looking at them thinking, why did you do that? You went overboard there. I think that it's all about embarrassment.
Well, and those of us who are judging the parent for what they're doing ought to step back as well, because sometimes the child has gotten out of control and that's the only way they've ever been able to correct it. I don't know.
Well, there's a grocery store tie-in to this. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, this is a topic I feel passionately about.
All right.
You want to talk about embarrassment, this is embarrassing. So, something I had to learn the hard way. When my kids were coming up, I whipped them. Maybe even a little more than I should have. But, you know, there was more to me and four of them, and I didn't have time for a lot of shenanigans. Well, I have one daughter and three sons, and when my daughter to this day is so passive. She's a passive type of a person. I never really had to spank her much. She was always receptive to, you know, just sitting her down and talking to her. But my boys, they were knuckleheads, and they tried me at every turn.
Knuckleheads.
The thing of it is, if your only go-to, I would never tell someone to hit or not hit their kids. That's a personal choice. But the only thing I will say is the lesson I learned. If your only go-to at dealing with problems is going upside their head or getting a belt or whatever, when what do you do? This is what I ran into. When they're 13, 14, 15, and you're looking up at them, and they're a lot bigger than you, and that's not an option, and then you're left with no coping skills, no other, you know, they can't go to the corner. They're too big for a butt whooping, and you've not learned to talk with them. You've not learned any kind of alternative ways of dealing with them, just the corporal punishment, and that's not working. Then what do you do?
Well, see, this is interesting to me, because, see, now if you have used corporal punishment when they are little, why are they still acting out at 13, 14, 15 and needing corporal punishment? Obviously, it didn't work.
Right.
Well, you know, talking about that, my eldest son is 6'3". I'm about 5'11". And he got to be 6'3" about the end of when we were whipping. But it didn't frighten me to spank him, even though he was bigger than me. But we didn't spank, like I said, we didn't spank in anger. My youngest son did threaten to take me to the child corrective people one time when I spanked him while he was laying on the floor not doing what he was supposed to do. But, yeah, it's kind of tough when they get to that age of what do you do?
Like I said, I mean, I'm not saying don't ever, you know, pop their hands or pop their butt or whatever. I'm not saying do or don't. I'm just saying the problem I ran into is if that's your only go-to and that's the only thing that you know to do, because that got you results when they were younger and controllable.
Yeah.
When you got boys and you're looking up at them, you're going to look kind of silly trying to turn them around and, you know.
Yeah, and a punch to the face is not a good choice.
Yeah, I would never. So I don't know what the answers are. I just know that kids don't come with manuals, and it's a tough, tough job.
Yeah, it is.
That's all I know.
Hey, thank you for calling.
I appreciate every mom there is for dealing with that problem. My wife was, I've said this many times, probably, in my opinion, one of the greatest moms ever, and she got our kids to do what she wanted. There were times where I was sitting there and going, how mommy coddled are you giving her, doing, you know, how easier you make it on our kids. But they've turned out to be really good people.
Well, spanking is the topic today. 740-383-9944. Should you do it? Corporal punishment. 740-383-9944. If the line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. So keep on trying back. 740-383-9944. Now, a lot of people think this was the changing point in their kids' life to use corporal punishment. And then their kids feel that way as well. Now, that I don't know why that bleeds down, because I'm sure the kids at the time did not think that that was such a great idea.
Oh, and you hear the old timers all the time saying, "My dad whipped me, I'm going to whip him." You know, I don't know. It's something I'm not proud of that I did. How about in high school, or not in high school, in grade school? I was spanked once by a principal with a paddle that had holes in it for added effect. But that was the only time I was ever spanked in school. But back then it was understandable.
Well, I think the reason they stopped that in school was because parents were complaining.
Yeah, and I think they probably hurt some kids pretty badly.
Well, also, I mean, how the principal is not the arbiter of truth. So how many kids got spanked who maybe just were shy or did not, you know, somebody told on them and it wasn't true? You know, that you don't want that happening.
Let me tell you why I got spanked.
Yeah.
Marilyn Hurdle. That was her name. We're friends, by the way, on Facebook now. But Marilyn Hurdle. We were outside and it was kind of rainy and we had umbrellas, and she got mad at me, so she poked me with that umbrella hard and it hurt, and I wrapped it around her neck.
Oh.
And that's why.
You hit her with the umbrella?
Oh, yeah. I yanked it out of her hand and smacked her with it.
In the neck?
In the head.
In the head?
Yeah. And that's why I got spanked.
Now, this came from somebody who was spanked at home.
I was not.
Oh, you were never spanked.
I can't remember ever being spanked.
But you thought the best way to handle this was corporal.
Well, I was, it was one of those flare-up things. She poked me hard. It really hurt. I think it left a mark. And I grabbed it away from her and smacked at her. I didn't intend to hit her in the head, but I did hit her in the head.
So you were, the principal was justified in your case.
He saw it.
Oh, he saw it. So he,
and he was very angry, and he hit me hard with that paddle.
Well, you know what? I think there were probably a lot that went into that. Hitting a girl and that whole thing. And him seeing it was probably part of it.
But we called her Marilyn Hurdle Girdle from that point on.
Why did she hit you with it?
I think it was one of those things that grade school kids do when I thought she was pretty, and she thought I was handsome, and so we were testing each other, and neither one of them was happy with the response.
I guess not.
Yeah. Well, another time, never mind.
I guess that didn't end in the love story did not come out of that puppy love.
No, you know, though, I did, when we went to high school, we both went to South Bend Central High School, I did watch her with longing in my heart. I always thought she was a pretty late girl. And I've seen her picture on Facebook. She still is a pretty girl.
Bet you wish you hadn't hit her with that umbrella.
No, I didn't. Actually, it really was so short-lived. I don't think either one of us even thought about it 2 weeks later, so...
Well, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. Because her cousin was even prettier.
Now, why are kids resilient in that way to forgiving each other where adults aren't?
I think it's only to a point. I think you can beat a child into the point where submission, I guess you'd call it, where they aren't forgiving in the back of their head. I listened to Christina Aguilera. And one of her songs talks about watching her father beat her and beat her mother. And I don't think they're forgiving about things like that. I think they'll forgive an occasional spanking. But I don't. If it's a regular basis thing, I think it's bad parenting.
I don't think you forget it, but I've known parents who have done things like that. And it's still the father. Now, they don't forget it. They don't forget that it happened. And maybe that does skew how they see them as a father.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they disown them. You know, friendships and things can end in life very easily over the stupidest things.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that, I don't think kids feel that way. I think they say, okay, well, you know, it's another day. We're back on the playground.
I think it depends on how badly the child is abused. I really do. I'm not condoning abusing any kid for any reason for any amount of time.
Here comes the break. We'll finish that thought on the other side. Ted, I remember so well when you announced you were going to run for president on my show.
I do too. But after a while, I decided to get out of the race.
Why was that?
Well, I didn't want to move to a bad neighborhood.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
And we're back here on this Wednesday.
Yeah.
Away we go.
Wednesday.
But, you know, it's just when it comes to corporal punishment, it is what it is. People make their own decisions, and I guess it ends how it ends. Now, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944, if you have anything to say about that.
I was going to mention, I was a substitute teacher for 2 years, and obviously corporal punishment by the time I was a substitute teacher was verboten. But I had a young man who came into, we had class, and he was being disruptive, but he asked, can I go to the bathroom? And I said, sure. And he went to the bathroom, came back, and about 15 minutes later asked if he could go again, and I said, okay, thinking maybe he was not feeling well. So that time I followed him down to the bathroom, and I found out why he wanted to go to the bathroom. He was down there smoking. And so I grabbed a hold of him and escorted him back to the room, and as we went into the room, he did the nah, type thing, which just absolutely infuriated me, and I threw him against the wall.
Now, did they keep you employed at that point?
Well, that's what I'm about to tell you. I got called into the principal's office after school was over, and he said to me, Mr. Coble, you understand that's against the rules. You're not allowed to do that to any child. And I said, yes, I did. And I felt terrible that I did. And he said, but it's not a bad idea to make them think you're a little crazy every once in a while.
Well, you know what I have heard recently from people who say the only way to get kids, now forget corporal punishment, the only way to get kids to pay attention sometimes is to act crazy. That
yeah.
you know what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
but if they think you're nuts, they worry.
Yeah.
And they, you know, I think it's a good tool.
I was quite, being the only male substitute teacher in the whole school district, they always put me in charge of the special ed kids because sometimes it required, you know, being a little bit stronger. And this one young lady took offense with what I was trying to teach them or something, and I told her to be quiet and sit down, and she wouldn't be quiet and sit down, so I grabbed her by the arm and pushed her down. I didn't push her to the ground, I just grabbed her by the arm and made her, and she started screaming, I'll sue you and my father will kill you, and she was going nuts on me. And fortunately, I had enough students in that special ed class, and one of which was about 6'2" and liked me a lot, and he went over to her and told her to sit down. I didn't have to do anything. That peer pressure was very important. And I did eventually have to take her to the principal's office that day because she was just out of control, and we found out she had not taken her medicine that morning.
You know what's funny? In all the years now that I've done substituting on and off and teaching on and off, which has been now, you know, 15 years plus, I've never had to send a kid to the office.
Really?
Never have.
Have you ever done special ed classes?
Yeah, I have. No. I've done all kinds. I mean, I've done ROTC, I've done special ed, I've done gym, I've done art, I've done foreign language, I've done English, and
I think I only had to do it twice, that girl and another young man.
But, you know, I see substitutes, and I see a lot of people doing that. They do it a lot. And it never got to that point with me to where I was that angry that I thought that I, because to me what that meant is I can no longer handle it. This is such a disruption that I can no longer control this room. And to me, one of the big one of the things you have to be able to do is control the room.
Yeah.
As a teacher.
Yeah.
And there are, it's not about screaming and yelling.
No.
That's not a good way to control
not.
The room.
And I never did scream or yell at, except for that one young kid I threw against the wall. But the two times that I, this young lady who was, had not taken her meds, and then I had a young man who, by the way, was in deep trouble anyway. He was picked up by the police that afternoon because he had done something very bad, and we never saw him again, by the way. But that was the whole thing. If you could, and I could usually control the room just by my size. I was bigger than most of them. But if you can't control the room, that's a real problem. And you can't, I'll guarantee you, you can't control the room by beating kids up.
Well, I learned to control the room by the same way that I learned to control a room if I was giving a speech in front of adults, because sometimes they're not paying all that much attention to you and
yeah,
not being all
right.
that, and they're talking to their spouse and their husband, and you know, that does throw you off a little bit. But I've learned the way to control a room is to never let, and I'm not saying a classroom is an audience, but in a way they are.
Oh, sure they are.
Never let the audience get ahead of you. And you cannot scream them down. You cannot do that. They're ahead of you then.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to catch up. That's why you're yelling. You know, when you're behind somebody, you say, hey, I need, wait for me. That's yelling. Mm-hmm. So you got to stay ahead of them. And the best way to stay ahead of any group you're giving a speech to or any classroom is to be as calm and be as soft-spoken as you possibly can be, because then they have to not be loud to pay attention to you.
Right.
And you know what? A lot of people in the classroom, sometimes you let them be the leader. You know, if I'm up there and I'm just giving a lesson in my normal voice and there's somebody talking so loud that the kid who is trying to pay attention can't hear, he sometimes will say, hey, I'm trying to listen to this.
Yeah.
And then you don't get involved at all, and that kid who's yelling gets more apt to be quiet because now his peer has embarrassed him.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's cool to yell at the teacher. It's not cool to yell at a peer in the classroom.
Right.
And you just don't let them get ahead of you, but make them pay attention to you.
I found that one of the things that worked in classrooms, and I've given several public speeches, and I imagine it would work there too, but I haven't had to use this technique, is to, if the kid is making disruptive noises, you just stop. And not point them out, but just wait for them to complete what they're doing. And usually they know, oh my, I overstepped my grounds. And then they will quit talking. And they may go to sleep, but at least they'll shut up.
Well, a lot of times you can even heap on, an embarrassment does work, and you can even say at the end, are you done?
Yeah, that would work, yeah. That's kind of the same thing as just staring at them and not saying anything.
But I think sometimes that kids don't understand why you stopped. Because if they weren't paying attention to you in the first place, it sometimes they don't. And sometimes when you say, are you done? I've seen that go two different ways. Sometimes they'll say no.
Yeah.
And they'll try to keep talking.
And make a joke out of it.
Which, again, that doesn't work.
No.
Because you can only talk for so long. And if you're willing to wait them out.
Yeah.
Which you are. Then just let them go on again. And then you say, are you done?
I think most of the time the silence effect seems to work because the rest of the class knows why you gave them the silent treatment. And they start to turn and look at the person who's being obnoxious. And I don't know.
Well, I don't know.
It's worse in junior high than any other place.
I don't know what's going on between sixth and ninth grade.
Their brains are going nuts.
Yeah, but you know, you would think the high school kids. Now, the high school kids, to me, I've always found just kind of seem tired in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, a few will act out. But the high school kids, I think, are involved in sports. They're involved in boyfriend-girlfriend for the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
They've got more homework than they've ever had. They're trying to get into college. They're tired.
I had an advantage over you when I was substitute teaching. I had three children who were, well, one of them was the athlete of the year as a senior. Well, they were all just phenomenal athletes, and everybody wanted to be their friend, right? And that helped because nobody wanted to make Mr. Coble angry because then they wouldn't get along with Chris, Andrew, and what's my other son's name?
Uh-oh.
Chris, Andrew, and Amy. So they kind of treated me with a little bit more distinction than some other sub-teachers.
You know, I don't really know what kids, I mean, you can't really get inside their head. I don't know what they really think about substitutes or even their regular teachers.
Yeah.
You know, you really don't know. I don't know if the relationships are as strong now as they used to be. I remember when people would go back and visit their teachers mm-hmm. and credit their teachers with changing their lives. You know, for some reason, I don't see a whole lot of that anymore. I don't know what's happened.
I bet there are, but there are so very few teachers that justify that admiration. And I think 50 years ago, it was the same as it is now. I have four teachers that I regularly talk with on Facebook, one of which was my sixth grade gym teacher and a choral teacher. And you don't want to know all this. But I think that people, there are very few teachers that impress their kids that much. I know I didn't impress my. How many times were you told by a teacher when you went into substitute, I've left a video,
oh, yeah.
Just play it.
Yeah.
And that is really disappointing, especially if you're somebody, I wanted to become a teacher. And that was always disappointing to me. But
it's an easy day.
Yeah, not easy, boring.
Well, I don't know. It depends. See, now to me, I was always interested in watching the video because why not?
But the first time.
The first time. But you know, I'll tell you, and I would have never done this had I not been in that class. I was substituting in an English class, I'm pretty sure. And I couldn't tell you the movie to this day, even though I watched it four times that day. But there was, it was a movie about, essentially, it was a movie, it had to do with the Holocaust, but it wasn't. It was a big production movie. It wasn't a documentary.
Right.
And it was such an awfully impacting movie because it spent the whole entire movie basically talking about the father had been taken off to a concentration camp, but then he had been released and he'd been come back, and the mother was the great figure, and the kid who wanted to be the girl's boyfriend was living across the street, and they were all in this neighborhood, and they were all worried that the Nazis were going to come get him, and indeed, they did take the father at one point, but he came back, he survived it years later, and he comes back, so you get all invested in these characters, and then one night, the girl who, and they were hiding out. Mm-hmm. A Jewish person. And then one night, the girl, who's the star of the movie, she goes and sleeps in the basement of the house because she can't sleep. And that night, the town is bombed.
Oh.
And everybody's killed. The mother, the father, the boyfriend. They're all killed. And you learn that this whole perspective of this movie is being told from her as an older person.
Yeah.
And that's an impactful moment because you don't see that coming. You didn't. That was one of those moments, I mean, because it was done so well mm-hmm. in this movie that they spent 2 hours showing you how this family survived, even when the father was drug off.
Well, I'm surprised they allowed you to show that.
Well, I didn't show it.
No, I know, but yeah. There are people today that would cry foul for showing that because there are people today that don't think the Holocaust happened. But
well, I don't think these kids cared. But I think it impacted every class. See, that was something. That's why I was getting to the point of this. Okay. All four times I showed that day, that moment when she opens up the cellar door and everybody's gone, you could hear a pin drop in that classroom. Now, all throughout the movie, they were talking to each other and texting and all this thing. That moment, all kids act the same way. It was interesting to me.
Now that you said they were texting, is that one? Now, when I was a substitute teacher, it was before texting. Is that a problem for teachers? I would assume they would take the cell phones away from them.
Oh, no. See, that's you will not win that battle now because they've told the kids they can have them in the rooms.
Oh, okay.
That's a school policy. You don't have to leave them in the locker anymore. Well, because I think the parents have complained enough that I want to call or text or an emergency. So,
and I guess I understand that, but boy, that must impact their learning ability if
you
they
know
don't
what?
Want to learn.
I'll tell you, I taught a little bit before texting, and I've taught after, and the weirdest thing about it is you think it would be impactful, and maybe it is on their schoolwork, but when you're texting, you're not talking.
Well, that's true.
So
you're not disruptive.
You're not disruptive at all when they're doing that. We're going to break. We'll be back in 15 minutes. You might think they are. This woman exceeds the kindness that you might think she would be. She has the greatest laugh in the world, and she was the greatest villain Disney history